It's time for Blue Darter Sports Central with your host, Roger Franklin Williams. Stay tuned for the latest updates on Blue Darter Sports, along with interviews with student athletes, coaches, and more. It's Blue Darter Sports Central. Now, here's Roger.
Welcome to Blue Darter Sports Central with Roger Franklin Williams. And friends, it's great to be with you on a wonderful Friday. I want to thank you for the opportunity to join you on this beautiful Friday. Of course, Blue Darter Sports Central is a program that brings you uplifting stories of achievement by Apopka High School ballplayers, coaches, and alumni. And it's all brought to you by Froggers, by Shelley's Environmental Services, by Community Health Centers, and by Florida Door Solutions. Well, friends, we've got a great show for you tonight. Once again, we're coming to you from our friends at Froggers Apopka, and we are going to celebrate Apopka Blue Darter football. Of course, spring football is not too far away. Spring practice begins later this month. We're going to speak with Coach Jeff Rolson about spring practice 2024 and looking ahead to 2024. But we're also going to take a look back and celebrate the 80-plus years of history and tradition of Apopka Blue Darter football. And even more specifically, we're going to celebrate 24 consecutive years of making the playoffs, 24 consecutive years of playoff football for Blue Darter football. And we're going to take a look back at some of the extraordinary games that took place in the 2023 season. As I've said before, both on and off the air, as someone who has been going to Apopka Blue Darter football games in person for over 60 years, literally, the 2023 season had at least four games that were truly historic, and we're going to take a step back and revisit all four of those games. Before we get started, I want to, of course, let you know about we've got really an all-star lineup of royalty, Blue Darter football royalty here joining us at Froggers, starting with Coach Jeff Rolson. Coach, thanks for coming over. It's always great to see you.
It's good to be here. I don't feel like royalty, but I'll take the compliment.
And you were on the staff, actually, of the very first playoff team. And, of course, we want, you know, it started the streak.
Yeah.
We've been in the playoffs before, but the 2000s team started the 24 consecutive streak. We're here with Brian King. Brian, if I'm not mistaken, you were on the assistant coach during those days.
I was. I was helped with the freshmen. I was at the bottom of the pile, just trying to help push people in the right direction.
Everybody contributes. Marshall Tippus of the Apopka Chief, who covers sports for the Apopka Chief, now is joining us. Marshall, thanks for coming over.
Yeah, of course. It's always a pleasure to come out, Roger. Thank you for having me out here.
Deshaun Massey is here. Of course, Deshaun Massey is one of the great players in the history of the program. Among other things, he was one of our key running backs, a key player in the 2014 state championship team. Great to see you.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. It's always good to come on.
And, of course, joining us, we'll hear a little bit later from Danny Daniels, who was, of course, he was a part of another streak, and that was the 31 consecutive win streak under Chip Gerke back in the 1990s. And Sammy Smith is joining us as well. Of course, Sammy Smith is mentioned in every discussion of the greatest player in the history of the program might be, and Sammy is right at the top of that list. So anyway, we've got a great cast for us here at Froggers. And, of course, Pete Paquette, our operations manager, is joining us as well. Pete, great to have you here.
It's good to be here, Roger. Yeah, and it is. I am surrounded by Apopka sports royalty right here. First time I've got to meet Deshaun face-to-face, of course, that name will just go down in history in Apopka football, for sure, forever.
Now let's go to Coach Rolson. And, Coach, we want to do a lot of reminiscing and celebrating, especially about the 24 consecutive playoff streak. But first of all, spring football is not too far away, 2024. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're looking at, your thoughts and goals for spring practice?
Well, I'm excited about it. We've got a lot of young guys, and I think there's a lot of guys that are talented enough to be able to play for us. So we're going to have an opportunity to get out there and see them go through their paces. And looking forward to finding some hidden gems out there, and some guys that have put in the work and the time that haven't had the opportunity finally stepping forward. So it's kind of a, you know, spring's always a time of renewal. You know, we just recapture the energy and get back to work. But there's a lot of guys out there that I'm interested to see how they do. And they paid some dues, and we'll see if it pays off for them. But I'm excited about it.
Now, from a coach's perspective, you know, how does what you do during spring practice differ from the way you handle things in the fall, if it differs?
Well, you know, you got 3 weeks, and then a game. You got one game, and it isn't, you know, the be all end all. So you're really just out there trying to see who can play, who's going to be able to be sent out on the field in the clutch, or who's not ready, and you kind of get your JV and your varsity kind of squared away and know what you got. But the neat thing about spring is summer's next, and that's a chunk of time where you can make great strides. So for some people that aren't ready when spring hits, they can transform themselves a little bit over summer. But really, spring's just about finding depth and finding who's going to be ready to participate at the varsity level.
And staying with spring football, 2024, if I'm not mistaken, our spring game is going to be against Jones High School. Once again, we played them last year. Of course, they're one of the elite programs in the state of Florida under the direction of Coach Elijah Williams. And I just want to mention that for everybody. And we're going to obviously have that game right here on AM 950 and FM 94.9, The Answer. But looking ahead to 2024 season in the fall, if I'm not mistaken, we're in a new district once again. Can you talk about the new district and your expectations for the 2024 season?
Yeah, we've got West Orange, Ocoee, and Ocala Westside, or whatever, Westport. So it's four teams. You know, we're very familiar with Ocoee, very familiar with West Orange, and they are with us. So Ocala's a little bit of a drive, and you know, they're going to have a good football team, but, you know, it's going to – we've got an idea. So, you know, the goal is to win the district. And, you know, right now we may play Ocoee game one or game eight. We're not sure how that's going to pan out yet. It's supposed to be game eight, but we had some scheduling issues. So, but I think it's – on quite honestly, it's a winnable district, and if you win the district, you're in. You know, that's the way I feel. We have Tampa Bay Tech on the schedule, which is a powerhouse out of Tampa, and they played Aquinas in the title game a couple years ago. We're going to Madison County. We've been there before, so that's another thumper on the schedule. Got Edgewater again, so got a challenging schedule.
We're speaking with Coach Jeff Rolson on Blue Darter Sports Central. We're surrounded by some all-time great players and figures in Apopka Blue Darter football, here coming to you from Froggers. And we are talking about the upcoming 2024 season, including spring practice, which starts later this month. And we're also taking a look back, first of all, to celebrate 24 consecutive seasons of making the playoffs, and look back on highlights of 80-plus years of football and tradition. And, of course, we're going to take a look back at 2023 specifically, because 2023 had some of the most dramatic and literally historic games in Apopka Blue Darter history. And really, does that happen? One season produces four extraordinary games like that. Speaking of Ocoee, one of those, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but one of those games was against Ocoee on the road to open the regular season last year, which was a 2-0 victory. And since we're talking about it now, why don't we just go ahead and talk about it? Coach, what are your recollections of that game, that unusual score? And I'll just throw my two cents in first. You know, there was a lot of discussion, of course, after the game, during the game. The way my takeaway from that is we got out of there with a victory. And that's what you want to do when you play a 2-0 game, is to be the team that's got the two. But can you just reflect on the game?
I remember being over there, not being able to get a first down, not being able to move the football. And then late in the game, you know, popping a run with a linebacker at running back that fumbled the ball crossing the goal line, basically, which would have been a score, and then putting a DB in at wide receiver and throwing a touchdown, and they called a penalty on that. So we had a couple touchdowns there. We could have, you know, separated ourselves a little bit. And I told the guys after the game, even if both those things hit, and we win by, you know, whatever, 17, 16, nothing. Still don't feel good about it. We came out with a win. Defense played well, and that was a rough, rough game. And they played hard. They blitzed us all night, and we didn't handle it. That's all there was to it. So kudos to them. But thank God we won.
And, of course, their coach, Coach Buck Gurley, was an outstanding defensive player at the University of Florida, defensive lineman, and he's been known during his coaching career both as an assistant and a head coach as an outstanding defensive coach.
Yep.
And one more thing, can you say a word about our defense in that game? Because obviously they're the ones that, you know, were impactful in getting the win.
Yeah, you know, we've hung our hat on defense here, I guess, for a long time, and we started out the season playing really good defense, and those guys, you know, swarmed the football and made plays, and you know, I don't recall them ever really getting close to scoring. So, like, you know, defense travels. So, hats off to them; they did a great job.
Whatever Dokoy that night, and was the key to a 2-0 victory. Absolutely,
the special teams too, with the block punt that caused the safety too.
Yeah. Yeah, that special teams is huge. We beat Jones in the spring by blocking it. So defense, special teams got to be key, but we got to improve on offense. I think we will this year.
Friends, we're up near our first break. We're going to take that break in just a moment. We'll continue with tonight's Blue Darter Sports Central from Frogger's Apopka, and we're highlighting the history tradition of Apopka Blue Darter football, and especially celebrating 24 consecutive years of playoff football for the Blue Darters. I do, before we go to that break, want to let you know this is a huge sports weekend, and Frogger's Grill and Bar, with locations not only in Apopka but in Altamont Springs, Mount Dorn Oviedo, is the best place to enjoy sports this weekend. Of course, Major League Baseball just started. You can watch any game you want to at any Frogger's, and they have literally scores of TVs in each location. And, of course, it's Final Four weekend. Huge games coming up Saturday afternoon in NCAA men's basketball. And Frogger's is a perfect place to watch sports this weekend, as it is every weekend. We'll get into that quick break. We'll be right back on Blue Darter Sports Central, sponsored by Frogger's and by Florida Door Solutions. We'll be right back.
It's Blue Darter Sports Central. Now, here's Roger.
Welcome back to Blue Darter Sports Central with Roger Franklin Williams, coming to you from Frogger's Apopka. It's great to be with you on a wonderful Friday evening. I want to thank you for the opportunity to join you. Of course, Blue Darter Sports Central is a program that brings you uplifting stories of achievement by Apopka High School ballplayers, coaches, and alumni. We have a special show tonight. We are surrounded by some of the great ball players and coaches in the history, the 80-plus year history of Apopka Blue Darter football. You'll be hearing from them over the course of the program. We're taking a look ahead to the 2024 season, as we did in our first segment. Right now, we're going to focus on taking a look back at some of the great moments, players, and teams in Blue Darter history, specifically the 24 consecutive playoff streak that we've enjoyed since the year 2000. And the 2023 team continued. And also, we're going to take a look back at some extraordinary games, four extraordinary games that took place in that 2023 season. And we're going to talk about some other great moments with some other great players as well. And just to reset things, we're joined by Coach Jeff Rolson. Brian King is joining us. He was an assistant coach back during the early days when the 24th consecutive playoff string got started. Of course, well known as a former assistant baseball coach at Apopka as well, and the founder of Orlando Baseball Academy. Deshaun Massey is joining us, one of the great players in the history of the program, a key member of the 2024 state championship team. Marshall Tippus, who covers Blue Darter Sports for the Apopka Chief, is joining us. Sammy Smith, truly one of the great players in the history of the program, is joining us. And Danny Daniels, his teammate. Danny Daniels was an outstanding defensive back and kick returner. And those guys have their own streak to talk about. Danny and Sammy were part of the very first undefeated, untied team in school history back in 1983. But let's go back to Coach Reno. You know, do want to let you know before we go back to the gang that Blue Darter Sports Central is supported by Shelley's Environmental Services. Shelley's, locally owned, environmentally friendly, and by Community Health Centers. Community Health Centers has been providing quality, affordable health care to the citizens of Central Florida for over 50 years, and now with 15 locations throughout Central Florida. And, you know, Coach, why don't we take a step, a big step back, and let's go back to 1999-2000 when the Spring got started. If I'm not mistaken, you were your first year at Apopka was 1999?
Yes.
And that was significant. Coach Rick Darlington came in as the new head coach. Coach Jeff Rolson was on the staff. Brian King, if I'm not mistaken, you were on the staff. You know, Brian's dad, Phil King, was the athletic director. And you know, going to reveal some history that we don't always want everybody to know about, but it's fact and it's history. But after the Chip Gerke years, which Gerke left with a 31 consecutive win streak, which was state record at the time, may still be as far as I know, we hit a rough patch. We had some 500 seasons. In fact, over the 4 years previous to Coach Darlington taking over as head coach, Coach Rolson arriving on his staff, we were under 500 during those 4 years. So anyway, it was a turning of the page. It was a new coaching staff. Coach Rolson was a member of that staff. Can you reflect, first of all, what brought you to Apopka in 1999?
Wow. Well, you know, I was a head coach. I was young. But I was a head coach when I was 27. But I was a head coach in Illinois and Missouri, small ball, no spring ball. And I kind of started bumping up the ladder, and I got to a job in Charleston, Illinois. I was a head coach. It was a 4A program, and that's the same town that Eastern Illinois, and that's where I played college ball. So, I thought to myself, I'm going to go turn this program around, then I'm going to be the D-line coach at Eastern Illinois here pretty quick. Well, I was not a good fit for that joint at all. So I was thought to myself, I work way too hard at this game to you know, have the results I'm getting and for it not to be important. So I took a tour of the South. So I interviewed in Georgia, interviewed in Kentucky, I interviewed in Tennessee, I interviewed in Florida. And I got offered the defensive coordinator job at every one of those places except for Apopka. And Apopka offered me a linebacker job. But I was in the weight room watching him in the summer, and Maurice Harrell was in there, and his shoulders were really wide, and his waist was really narrow, and he looked like nothing I'd ever seen. And I said, well, I want to coach those guys. So I came down as a linebacker coach. By midseason, I was the D coordinator. Because that's a side story, but anyway,
you can tell us. You know, we won't tell anybody.
The defensive coordinator, he had a bachelor party he had to attend mid-season. So, Coach Darlington was like, "Hey, you know, we're about winning football games here, but from now on, this guy's going to call the defense." I said, "Okay." So that was funny. So that's how I came, and it's been, you know, it was obviously special, and when I crossed the Florida line the first time moving down here, I pulled into the rest stop, and it was thunder and lightning, and I thought I'd run over a tree branch in the road, and I looked in the mirror, and it was flopping around. So I pull over. Sorry to get into the story, but
I want to hear it. I'm on the edge of my seat.
I pull over, and I get out, and it's a alligator. It's a 4 or 5 foot alligator, right? And I'm like, what? So state trooper pulls up, and I'm like, well, did I just commit a crime? Am I going to jail? I killed an endangered species? I don't know. So he goes, hey, you want that? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, that tail's good eating. I said, well,
welcome, you know, to Florida.
Yeah, exactly. So I said, no, I don't think so. He goes, well, we better get off the road then. He got a shovel and made that thing bite the shovel and drug it off in the weeds. So that was my introduction to Florida.
That's awesome. Thank you for a great story. And I want to one thing I do want to acknowledge, too, is that 1999 season. We didn't make the playoffs that year, but you guys got the program turned around and went 6-4. You reestablished a winning record, had some great wins that season against a tough schedule, and then that paved the way for the making the playoffs in 2000, and then you brought home a state championship in 2001. I do want to mention a couple of guys that were key on that 99 team, and you guys feel free to bring up any others if you want to, but I know Chaz Williams was a quarterback in 99, and he was instrumental in this whole turnaround of the program from an offensive point of view, and of course, he still holds numerous records at Georgia Southern and Southern Conference. But and then Ron John Finn was a key player on that 99 team, if I remember correctly, as well, and a lot of other great guys too. But then that kind of like that helped things get turned around, laid some foundation, and then in 2000 you guys made it to the playoffs. And you, Coach, you were the defensive, full-fledged, I guess, the whole season defensive coordinator.
Yeah, moved up.
That season, and one thing I do want to say about the 99 team was, as you coaching the linebackers and then Lady, the defensive coordinator, when you talked about you wanted to see what kind of players we're going to have here, there were a number of sophomores on defense in that first year in 99 under your leadership that were crucial to the state championship team in 2001. Can you talk about those guys?
We started eight sophomores on that team. You know, so you're talking about Brandon Merriweather, Othella Swift, Kate O'Mott,
Artis Neal,
Nate Jenkins, you know. Ryan Moore, probably.
Ryan Moore, yep.
I mean, we had like eight guys that were just turned out to be really special players. So, I mean, I think we won maybe our first five in 99, something like that. I think we won five and then lost the next whatever and then finished with a win against Evans because I remember Maurice Harrell planting the flag at midfield. Yeah. So that's how that went. But then the next year we were pretty good. We got good in a hurry, you know, on both sides of the ball.
Well, you talk about those guys and they – all came in as freshmen, but they all had some leadership qualities about them. Artis Neal, Kato Mott, Josh Mott, they all had a desire to win and some leadership. And so even as younger players, they were able to right the ship because we really only had two really bad years under Coach Kramer, and it just didn't work. But the program was going in the wrong direction. And those guys kind of helped solidify it by coming in together at the same time and having some leadership qualities.
Well, you know, when you have down years like that, it's they're hungry. They were hungry to win.
They were.
We got a break coming up in a moment, and I'm pleased to let everybody know we're joined by Sammy Smith and by Danny Daniels, and we'll be hearing from them in just a moment. As I said before, they had got their own streak to be proud of, and that was the first undefeated, untied team in Apopka Blue Darter history. But one question before we go to that break, Coach, and one thing that got my attention then, and if I'm not mistaken, I went to every game in 99 because I kind of felt things were going to be different and something special was about to happen. And when I saw those a lot of those sophomores on defense that you're talking about, and I was on the sideline for almost every game that game, so I got a chance to see how big everybody was and, you know, really get a flavor of the sideline. Most of those guys were not big guys. In fact, they were little guys for high school football. I'm talking some of those guys looked like they weighed 150, 155 pounds. Can you talk about what you said earlier, spring football and getting the, quote-unquote, the right people on the field? And a lot of coaches wouldn't think guys that are that small would be the right people to get on the field. Can you talk about your approach to getting the right people on the field?
Well, at the end of the day, it's high school football. So, you know, big college football, pro football, there's measurables. You got to be this, that, and the other, and you got a couple outliers. But high school football, if you have a burning desire and you will battle and scrap, you can play. And 2001, we won it, and our defense averaged 175. And the biggest kid we had was 189 pounds. That was our nose guard. But they all looked the same. You couldn't tell the difference between a tackle and a safety, a linebacker. They all looked the same. But what they did is they were coachable and they ran to the football, you know. One of the things that bothers me about football today, where it's a spread and they're throwing it around and they're hurry up, so you're trying to get your guys to run to the ball like we did in the past, and they're setting the ball up for the next play, so you got to modify that. But the deal with that, those kids just were so fast and they were so hungry and they just refused to lose. But, yeah, size did not matter. That's probably the smallest defense to win state title in big school football that has ever been, I would think.
Yeah, and again, I think we've talked on shows in the past, winning and losing is a learned trait. And that set of 10th graders won six freshman football games the year before without, or eight freshmen, whatever they played. And again, learning how to win late in the game or when things aren't going your way, that's a learned trait that carries over. And again, when you have the leadership that we were just talking about with Mott and Artis Neal and Nate Jenkins, when they learn and build some confidence in that, it carries over to all the rest of the players in the program.
Well said. We're going to go to our next break. When we come back, we'll continue to celebrate Apopka Blue Darter football, including our most recently completed season, which makes for 24 consecutive playoff seasons. We're coming to you, of course, from Froggers in Apopka. And I want to remind you once again that this is a great weekend. Froggers is the perfect place to watch sports on this huge sports weekend with Final Four winding down and with the start of Major League Baseball. We'll be right back from Froggers on Blue Darter Sports Central.
It's Blue Darter Sports Central.
Friends, welcome back to Blue Darter Sports Central with Roger Franklin Williams. It's great to be with you on a wonderful Friday afternoon and evening. I want to thank you for the opportunity to join you. Of course, Blue Darter Sports Central is a program that brings you uplifting stories of achievement by Apopka High School ballplayers, coaches, and alumni. Tonight, we're coming to you from Froggers, Apopka, and we're talking Blue Darter football. We're talking, taking a look ahead to spring football 2024, which is coming up later this month. Of course, spring game versus Jones in May. We'll have that for you right here, of course. And then we're also taking a big look back and examining the 80-plus years of history and tradition of Blue Darter football with some of the greatest players, literally, that have ever played for the Blue Darters. We'll reset those for you in just a moment. Before we do, of course, I want to let you know that Blue Darter Sports Central, that the ball players and the dedicated coaches you hear on Blue Darter Sports Central are supported by Florida Door Solutions. Do you have garage door problems? Florida Door Solutions has your solutions. And by Community Health Centers. Community Health Centers has been providing quality, affordable health care to the citizens of Central Florida for now over 50 years and now with 15 locations throughout Central Florida. They were founded in Apopka in 1972. As I said before break, we're pleased now to be joined by one of the truly all-time great players in Blue Darter history, Sammy Smith. Sammy, great to see you. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Roger, always an honor to spend time with you and to talk Apopka football, and especially this day being around such great folks that are here at the table, Coach Rolson and Brian King, one of my former athletes that were at Apopka when I was there, and, of course, my good friend Danny Daniels and my young Massey here and these young men. So just excited about being here talking football with you this morning.
It's a real thrill, and it's especially thrilled to have you here joining us. And why don't we just go ahead, and I mentioned briefly the streak that you guys were a part of, and that was the first undefeated untied team in a Blue Darter history. Of course, I think it was the 1948 team was undefeated, but they had two ties on their record. But I don't want to forget those guys because that was a huge achievement at the time and still is. But you guys were able to get through with the 10 wins with no ties, and they included some incredibly dramatic games. And I'm sure you have incredible moments. I'll start with one, and it was late in the season. And it was, now by this point, the streak was a big deal. Everybody was talking about, hey, this might be the year we make it. Super talented team, you, Danny, Rodney Brewer. We could spend the whole hour talking about all the great talent on that team. And you played against a game against Lake Howell, who in those days was really good. Mm-hmm. And, they scored late to go ahead. And by late, I think within a minute, less than a minute to go, if I'm not mistaken, they got to kick the ball off. Obviously they're going to not kick it to you. but anyway, so Coach Gerke, he had his thinking cap on. And so they kicked the ball out, and we did one of those – I don't even know the name of this play. But whoever caught it threw it to you across the field, and you went all the way to win the game right at the end of the game on a 100-yard kickoff return. Can you share about that with us?
Well, it's amazing, after all those years that I can remember that play. And, after playing so much football and the issues that players have with CTE, I'm just thankful that I can remember that far back. But, yeah, it was a tremendous game, and we played at their field. I remember it. And, man, they fought hard and gave us a real, real challenge that night. And, what more of an opportunity for them to upset us that year and in the end our streak of heading toward an undefeated season. But, you know, we had a team that was full of great players, as you mentioned. We didn't want to lose, and I think that Brian just spoke about, you know, having a winning mindset. And when you have that, you know, you'll figure out a way, even if it's the last few seconds of a game, to pull it out. And so I remember that. I believe it was Mike Loban that caught the kickoff, and yep. And he did a lateral to me, and it was just, you know, beat one person down the sideline. And, of course, we were ecstatic to walk away from that game with a great win.
Can you give us a background on that play? Was that something that you guys, Coach Gerke, and you guys came up with on the moment, or is that something you had in your bag of tricks and you practiced before?
No, we had it in our bag of tricks, and as you were talking about that, I was remembering a big play when Florida State beat Miami for the first time, you know, during my era that I was there, and it was a year after I left. But Keith Ross threw the same play to Dexter Carter, and he went down the sideline for a touchdown. So it was a prevalent play, probably one that they didn't expect that we would do. And Coach Gerke called it at the right time, and, you know, thankfully for us, it was successful.
Now let's go to Danny Daniels. Danny Daniels is always mentioned as one of the great defensive backs in the history of the program, also an outstanding kick returner. And, Danny, I'll ask you more of a general question. Is there a game in that undefeated season that stands out to you, or a memory that you have personally from that season?
No, not really. It was a lot of them. A lot of times I used to be on the sideline when the defense come off the field, and I was just sitting there just watching Sammy get all the recognition and all the runs, and I was just enjoying my moments at that time, waiting till he leave. So when he leave, I can have my chance to really show up. So the whole season, I mean, you had a bunch of great players like James Jones, Rodney Brewer.
Derek Fincher.
Mark Murray, Derek Fincher, Aaron Jones, all them guys.
Al Savea was on that team.
Had some good players on that team. Wow. And then once them guys left, we still played pretty good. We had a pretty good season after that, 10-0. 86.
The thing that comes to mind right the week after the Lake Owl game was the West Orange game, mm-hmm. and Lumbrook recovered the fumble with 33 seconds to go down inside our own 30, and Rod completed those two passes, and then I believe Sam ran it in on maybe a draw or ISO to win that game. That to me was one of the most memorable ball games in the history of the program.
Absolutely. You know, we think about that year, Roger, and, you know, all we accomplished that year. And it was a great year, right? It was one to be proud of. But, man, the thing that sticks with me with that year is losing to Winter Park in the playoffs. And, you know, going – I think we went into overtime.
Overtime.
You know, to lose that game.
That was a bad call because Derek didn't catch that ball. Yeah.
After having such a superb season, you know, on defense and offense, I mean, we were just clicking on all cylinders. And then to lose that game was really probably one of the biggest losses I can say of my whole career playing football, you know, whether it be college or pro, high school. That game I remember fondly, like I remember losing to Miami Hurricanes in 1987.
And I'll say one, I think it's important to note, too, back in those – yeah, that was a game that I always remember as well, just, you know, the sting of the loss, but also – just a battle of titans. I mean, even watching the game, you're thinking, well, this is just an incredible experience to see two teams at this level. Of course, Winter Park, coached by legendary Coach Larry Gurgley. Mm-hmm. They had their own set of great players, Paul McGowan, you know, the running back that they had was a great one. So it was a phenomenal experience to watch the game. But the thing I'm getting to is that was in the days when only one team came out of the district. Mm-hmm. So you had to win your district to get in. You're not in the playoffs if you don't win the district. And it was a structure, things were structured much differently, and there were fewer classifications back in those days too. Yeah.
But that season set the tone for the years to come in Apopka football.
No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that fact that we had reached heights that we had never been to before with the undefeated team that Sammy played on, and Rodney Brewer and all those great guys. And then, as Danny pointed out, 2 years later, you guys had your own undefeated season.
Right.
Yeah, and 9-1 the year before that.
Yeah, and I had to live with that for probably at least three of my years at Florida State because Paul McGowan and Mark Salva were on my team. at Florida State. And, of course, they were Winter Park players on that team that we lost to. And Paul would go on, you know, and have a great career and win the Butkus Award at Florida State. And Mark Salva blocked for me while I was at Florida State. So just the tradition of, you know, football around Apopka and even Winter Park, man, it was just superb football back then. And continues today. You know, Coach Rolson and the coaches that have come before him, Coach Darlington, man, they've all done a great job and continue to make us proud to look forward to upcoming seasons.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I want to mention just exactly what you and Brian and Danny have mentioned about getting Apopka on a level that was begin to be noticed statewide.
Right.
Was Coach Darlington tells a story, and this is of course you guys set the stage for the 90s and that 31 win streak that Gerke went out on, but Coach Darlington used to tell the story that he was an assistant coach at Lakeland, and he came to a playoff game. We were playing Sarasota Riverview back in the Jeremy Rudolph days. And he just was blown away by the Friday Night Lights atmosphere at Roger Williams Field. It was just, you know, it kind of like the thought I had about the Winter Park game that you guys played. Just like, this is high school football at its best. And that made a lasting impression, you know, on him that he filed in the back of his mind, not knowing he was ever going to show up, you know, be the coach here. But really, that's a big part of why we're doing this program is to eat the major foundational building blocks that each group of players made, and your impact, you and Danny Daniels and Sammy Smith and your teammates, was absolutely huge.
Well, I think what you just said and really brings about, you hear about all the tradition in Texas and stuff. You know, there was a stretch from the middle 80s through the late 90s, and then it regathered in the early 2000s, but where we would have 5,500 people at a high school football game in Central Florida. Now there wasn't nearly as much going on, and there are not as many schools, so there were a lot of factors to that. But to have 5,500 people from one community in one high school football, that makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up sitting here today, just because that's really an exciting thing. And I think that goes along with what we've talked about all day. People have no idea how many hours and how much goes on behind the scenes that Chip Gerke and Rick Darlington and Jeff Rolson have put in to maintain that. That product doesn't just show up on Friday night.
Right.
And unless you've been in there with them, you have no idea the things they sacrifice from their own life and family and the hours they work for almost zero pay.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely, and that's why we want to acknowledge the great job that Coach Rolson has done, not only as our head coach, but as our defensive coordinator, being a part of every trip to the state championship game, and the great work that he does to continue continuing that foundation that you guys all contributed so greatly to. We're going to go to a quick break, friends, on Blue Darter Sports Central as we celebrate Blue Darter football. We'll be back from Froggers in just a minute, but on the way out into this break, once again, I'll remind you, Froggers is the perfect place to enjoy sports this weekend. The start of Major League Baseball, they've got any team you want to watch. And, of course, Saturday is huge as we get to Final Four weekend. We'll be right back on Blue Darter Sports Central. Please, from Froggers, please stay with us.
It's Blue Darter Sports Central. Now, here's Roger.
Welcome back to Blue Darter Sports Central with Roger Franklin Williams. It's great to be with you on a beautiful Friday evening throughout Central Florida, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to join you. Of course, Blue Darter Sports Central is a program that brings you uplifting stories of achievement by Apopka High School ballplayers, coaches, and alumni. And tonight we're highlighting Apopka Blue Darter football from Froggers Apopka, and it's all sponsored by Shelley's Environmental Services. Shelley's, locally owned, environmentally friendly, and by Florida Door Solutions. Do you have garage door problems? Florida Door Solutions has your solution. And speaking of achievement, we're talking about the achievements of Blue Darter football, numerous over 80 plus years of history, but specifically 24 consecutive years of playoff football, and that was brought home by the 2023 team. And I do want to mention that, and the reason we're celebrating that right now is because, as we've said both on and off the air, once the football season is over in Florida, we're right, especially if you go deep into the playoffs like Apopka has been doing for 24 years essentially, is it's Christmas time and there's not much time to reflect. So we're stopping right here on today, on August the 5th, and we're taking a look back and celebrating 24 consecutive years of playoff football and the teams, players, coaches that helped to lay the foundation for that those 24 years. And we've got a great group with you. We're pleased to be joined by Coach Jeff Rolson, by Brian King, assistant coach during the early years of the streak. Of course, his father also was the athletic director, Phil King. Danny Daniels, great player, great defensive back kick returner from the mid-'80s. Sammy Smith, of course, one of the all-time great players in the history of the program. Deshaun Massey, one of the all-time great players in the history of the program. Also a running back on the 2014 state championship team. Marshall Tippis of the Apopka Chief is joining us. And Pete Paquette, our own Pete Paquette, our operations manager, is here to oversee things as our on-site producer. And Jeff is in the studio. And now let's get these guys involved here. And, you know, Deshaun Massey, as I said, is joining us. And first of all, I'll say about size, and I really appreciate what Coach Rolson said about heart. The guys that get on the field under his leadership are guys that play the game of football well, you know, regardless of size. And I think we've got two examples right here of if you're looking at the history of football, yard football, and the tremendous variety of that. We've got two literally of the outstanding running backs in the history of the program. They're both in the conversation for who is the outstanding running back and outstanding player in the history of the program. Sammy Smith, who, Sammy, you played, what, about 6'3", 220, something like that?
No, not 6'3". I may have been 6'1 and a half, or probably about 215, 220.
And sitting next to you is Deshaun Massey. And, Deshaun, can you describe your physical stature for us?
Around the time of high school, I had to be probably around 5'2", probably 154.
So my point is, you know, all shapes and sizes have contributed to this, and all shapes and sizes have been outstanding players on the field between the lines. And one other thing I'll add to that, though, as I said before, not all coaches would put some of these guys that don't have the big physical stature on the field. But anyway, and I think that's a tribute to Coach Rolson's leadership of getting the right players on the field based on how the game they play the game and the kind of heart and drive and desire to win they have, irrespective of what their size may be.
That's 100%. It makes no difference. We played it. Not to bring up the Cowboys, but I was at Osceola. We played Aquinas. I had a 163-pound defensive end starting against them, against St. Thomas Aquinas. The kid could play. He was tough.
Well, looking at the 2012 state championship team, they had a big 300-pound center. The team that we played?
Yeah. Cypress Bay.
Yeah. Cypress Bay, who was a Division I football player. Mm-hmm. Our middle linebacker, Speck, was about 6 feet 170.
Sure. Yeah, so it really he did. And he could run. Yeah, and he was intelligent. He was you got to be. They just got to have intelligence. You understand the scheme offensively, defensively. Know where you fit. Know where you're supposed to do. And then just have the will and the courage to go make it happen. So I could care less about size. Could care less.
Two more guys I got to mention. Speaking about size, Rakeem Smith. One of the best players I've ever seen. Wear the blue and white. Your strong safety, right?
Yes.
In 2012.
Yes.
I don't know what he might have been. 5'6", 5'7", 150.
Yeah, that's right. He was tiny.
Yeah, yep. About the same size.
And Jerick Blocker. I mean, Jerick's got maybe an inch on you, Deshaun.
Definitely when I got here, I didn't know what I was walking into.
But so. I think Jerick Blocker was 5'3", 5'4", and he was the tailback on the 2012 state championship.
Antoine Coley.
Antoine
2001.
Yep.
That guy could fly, that wingback.
The ironic thing about when I sit here and we just kind of look at the history, if I would have been playing with Coach Darling and then Coach Rolson, I probably would have been an offensive lineman. I'd have been one of the fastest guys on the team, probably the fastest on the team, but playing on the O line or defensive end or something.
Yeah, we'd put you at the end. Sure.
Well, that would take you back to junior high when you and Rodney were the two best offensive linemen.
I was about to bring that up in junior high. Coach Alexander, Sammy was offensive lineman. And you had Arcellus Collier, Mike Loman, me, all of us in the backfield.
But, yeah.
But him and Anthony Williams, all them guys, and he was the fastest guy on the team. Track season come, he the fastest guy. So,
yeah. Sammy, how'd you get over to running back from offensive line?
Well, you know, I think that Coach Gerke was smart enough to know that. No, I always wanted to be a tailback, and but I was a team player. And Coach Alexander brought that out in me. You know, I knew that I could have played running back in junior high school, but, you know, I wanted to win football games. And so I was willing to play wherever he put me. But when I came to high school, I started out on the defensive side playing safety. Mm-hmm. Just loved to hit. And I would always ask Coach, man, let me get in. Let me run the ball a few times. And I never forget, I think we were playing against Colonial or Lake Brantley, and we had gotten a pretty good lead, and he put me in to run the ball, just a tall sweep, and I think I went about 70 yards. And from that point on, I was getting to play running back.
And then, of course, the first game of your junior year, and at this point, you know, not a lot of people, I think, knew about Sammy Smith, but was a big game versus Lake Mary, and you broke out with 288 yards rushing in your very first start on varsity at running back.
I remember that one. Great game. You know, we blew them out. I think I had that amount of yards in really three quarters. I don't think I even played the fourth quarter. But, again, unfortunately, the next year we had to go to Lake Mary to play them in the playoffs, and we couldn't get it done. You know, so it's just one of those things that happens. And, you know, you look back on them fondly now and the memories, man, that, you know, it's just glowing, like I said, just to be able to remember all that great football back then. And I enjoyed watching these little guys run the ball. And I think about what they would have been able to accomplish had they had Kenny Carr and Anthony Williams blocking for them.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think about Massey and Rudolph. Man, just imagine, you know, with the numbers that he put up. Had he had a big, huge offensive line the way we played back in the day.
Yeah, Joe Carter and Kenny Williams. I mean, those guys were all big-time players. I mean, that's what people sometimes overlook because they're not in the spotlight. But absolutely.
Now, let's go to Marshall Tippis. Marshall, thank you for joining us. You know, 2000, you know, and can you share, you know, just tell us a little bit about, you know, your role? You know, of course, John Perry was the longtime covered Apopka since 1978 in football. Now you're the man covering Apopka Blue Darter Sports and other things. Can you just share about your experience thus far at the Apopka Chief?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get the job early August, end of July. I got to work with John for about 3 months, sadly, before he passed away. And he signed me on, like, you know, they gave me the job as, you know, I just shadowed him. I sat behind him for about 2 months, and I didn't really do anything. I remember my first time I met Rolson, I was scared. You know, Apopka High School for me was, I was never a ball player like that. I played lacrosse, I played soccer, so I knew how important and how serious that was, and I knew walking in as somebody that nobody knew, I had to kind of earn my place. So it was, at the beginning, hard, but, you know, sadly, when John passed away, I knew I had to step up, and I knew this city, this town really needs someone to constantly and always be around sports and to be able to tell these stories that are so amazing here. So,
well, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're joining us today. We appreciate had a chance to observe the work that you've done so far in a short period of time, and we really appreciate all that you've done. And one more good thing that John Perry did was he hired a good man. Yeah. who was there and ready to go. Before we were near, unfortunately, we're near the end of the show, and there's so much that we have to talk about. And I got to put this disclaimer on: when you have 80 plus years of great football, you're not going to get to a lot of it. So we tried to do the best we could here. Even a lot of stuff I wanted to cover, we were not able to. But it's the stuff that we covered is gold. So I'm glad we have. Deshaun, I got a question for you. I first noticed you when you were a freshman, and you didn't play a whole lot. You got to play some as a freshman.
Right.
But the point I'm making is it even boggles my mind that a freshman could have made varsity, because at that time, you know, that's when we were winning state championships.
Right.
And, to think that a freshman, especially an undersized freshman, if you will, all 5'2" of you,
right,
if you were even 5'2" as a freshman, had gotten, you know, the coach's attention to the extent that you did, that you actually made varsity. And if I'm not mistaken, you were the number two running back. And
right.
I think, you know, of course, there've probably got to be dozens of guys that could probably do a credible job as a running back at Apopka. You fought your way all the through those guys by the time you were a freshman and made varsity and were, you know, getting reps. How did you get the coach's attention?
It was tough.
Coach Rolson and the other coaches.
No, it was tough at first. It took a summer. It took one day in the summer, and I got boosted up to varsity the next day. Didn't know what I was getting myself into, but Jared walked me through when I got there. So the coaches had to trust me. You know,
can you talk about what do you think that you did to get their attention? Because, I mean, it's not like it was a small handful of guys trying to play running back. I'm sure there was probably a dozen or more guys wanting that spot that you wound up with.
Consistency and blocking first, for sure. They knew I would like the contact, so then they started giving me the ball. And they start seeing stuff consistently, first downs, back to back to back, then it turned into touchdowns. So then I end up getting them bigger plays. And then just from being smart, you got to learn fast with these coaches. So once they knew that, they knew I can kind of handle everything else.
It's great advice for anybody in any endeavor, but especially football. Well, friends, sadly, we're at right near the end of the show, but let's go back to Coach Rolson. And, Coach, first of all, thanks for the great contributions you have made since 1999, and also continuing, you know, not only continuing the tradition that we've had, but helping to get it to a brand-new level during your years with us at Apopka starting in 1999.
Well,
and most recently as head coach.
Great players make great coaches. That's simple as that. So, you know, we've got players, and, you know, we may not have all the D1 guys, the size and all that, but we got kids that love football and love being Darters, and they play hard. So all credit to them. Being D coordinator is more fun than being the head coach. I'll say that.
Well, we hope you're safe for head coach for a long time. I'll send it that way. Well, friends, thank you for joining us on Blue Darter Sports Central. Thanks to our great panel of Blue Darter greats, Pete Paquette, producing on site at Frogger's, and Jeff in the studio. Friends, have a great night.